Price.
Close it, huh?
The music you're listening to is completely electronic.
Only a fool would ignore this.
I'd like to demonstrate for you some of the rather more weird kinds of sounds.
See how relaxed you're getting?
Every Saturday night here at CITR 101.9 FM is More Than Human with me, Gareth Moses. I'll be playing a selection of wonderful electronic music from a strange parallel universe. I hope you can join me between 8 and 9, and do remember to bring your jetpack. I'll see you then.
Vancouver's Humans Possessions off their latest and first LP, Traps. In fact, they just finished a couple of gigs at South by Southwest down in Austin, and they're also doing some shows for the Canadian Music Week in Toronto. They are, in fact, very busy lads. And this is Shameless on 101.9 FM, CINTR in Vancouver. Got a very special show coming up tonight, a blockbuster, if you will, because I am joined in the studio by one Bon Smith, local singer-songwriter with a flair for dub, I do believe.
How you doing, man?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing great. This is awesome.
Going to chat with you quite a bit tonight.
Awesome.
Quite a bit. We're going to get deep in your psyche.
Oh, that's... I don't know if everyone wants to hear that, but all right. We'll try.
And you can play some music, too.
Totally. Yeah, it's my first on-air live interview / acoustic set, so I'm really excited.
Also, I don't know about you, but personally, I've been missing a good convention in Vancouver. I think we're definitely lacking for that in this city.
Yeah.
But there's one coming pretty soon in April, April 21st, 22nd. It's called Fan Expo, and be my pleasure to have the distinction of Mr. Victor Lucas, who will be appearing at Fan Expo, also of TV's Electric Playground and Reviews on the Run. See it's seen on G4 Network and City TV, where they talk about all sorts of neat tech stuff. But I got to save that for later, because I still got to work on the EQ levels for all you audiophiles out there.
Nice.
So next up, got Plants and Animals from Montreal. They are at the Rickshaw tonight. We just got their latest record here in the studio. Right now, here is the end of that.
Become a friend of CITR and get great discounts in the UBC West Side area at
The Australian Boot Company, Banyan Books, The Bike Kitchen, The Eatery, Fresh's Best Salsa, Gargoyle's Grill, Gumdrops, Prussian Music, Rufus's Guitar Shop, and the UBC Bookstore.
It pays to be a friend of CITR. To learn more, come visit us in room 233 of the sub on UBC campus or check us out online at citr.ca.
What I need, yeah, and I'm burning.
Tops from Montreal from their latest record, Tender Opposites. Should that sound familiar in any way, shape, or form, that is because that is a cover of Fleetwood Mac's Diamond Look. On Shameless, 101.9 FM, CITR. Before that, we had some Ben Sinister from their latest. The track was Got You On My Mind, and we started the set off with Plants and Animals. End of that. I am joined in the studio by one fine lad. He's looking good over there. Vaughn Smith, how's it going?
You also look equally, or if not better, good looking than me.
You are too kind.
Thank you. Oh, that's a squeaky chair.
How are you feeling tonight?
I'm feeling amped.
This is your first ever radio interview.
It's my first. Well, I've had some phone radio interviews with some radio stations in the East Coast, but this is the first in person with a big fat microphone in front of me, and it's pretty awesome.
I went looking pretty hard for that sock for you.
Is that right?
But the best for Bond Smith.
Nice.
Not the best.
Nice.
So how would you define your sound?
My sound. One guy with an intelligent brain said that it was like a West Coast symphonic pop. But really, what does that even mean? So, I don't know. It's just, I'm influenced by lots of different types of music. So, there's like some reggae in there, some kind of urban-y, kind of like hip-hop-y stuff. There's some like folk and, you know, just all different sorts. So, it's kind of a wide array.
And you're going to play some tracks for us tonight?
Yeah, I think I'm going to play Freeze Babe first up, because it's a fun one, so looking forward to that.
Excellent. Shall we do it now, perhaps?
Oh, okay, sure. Oh, ready? Yeah. Let's do this. I got the guitar strapped on. All right.
Freeze, babe, get on your knees, babe. Ever heard of the birds and the bees make honey? The money, honey, make the man come round. Bring home the bacon for the sizzling sound. Sound bites and the baby do too. I bet he got his cadence from you. Cause I supply the eye of the tiger. Two sparks collide, no, all I see is fire. Fire, fire, everywhere. Strop, drop and roll a spliff so we can share. The ramblings of a curious mind. Laugh at cartoons and slow down time. Cause I know something that you don't know. Into the struggle I can show and make you understand what it is to be your man. And I know something that you don't know. Into the struggle I can show and make you understand what it is to be your man. No, no, no. To be your man, yeah, yeah. Cause I can barely see you. Everything I know is blue. Like I'm breathing underwater. And I'm trying to get through. It's like fighting against the ocean. Trying to get my life in motion. It's like breathing underwater. When I'm drowning down into the ocean with you. Yeah, with you. No, with you. Yeah. Now please, babe. Oh, pretty please, babe. Can we reschedule our fight so it can be played out? Oh, for my buddies like the UFC. I'll be Randy, you can be GSP. We sell tickets, be a nightly event. Might as well profit since our love's been spent. Take down after taking down my guard. No weapon in your hand, but you still stab my heart. 2-4-6, it's a TK. Oh, 3-6-9, you can't make me go. Cause I don't care about the supermodels. I'd rather the real thing, cause I can barely think. Is this a dream or real life? I'm wishing for kisses to float me through the night. But I'm drowning, and no one ever seems to care. Every night becomes a nightmare, I can barely think. Is this a dream or real life? I'm wishing for kisses to float me through the night. But I'm drowning, and no one ever seems to care. Every night becomes a nightmare. Every night becomes a nightmare. Every night becomes a nightmare. I can barely breathe. I can barely breathe. No, 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 no. Yeah. Cause I can barely see you. Everything I know is blue. like I'm breathing underwater. And I'm trying to get through. It's like fighting against the ocean, trying to get my life in motion. Like I'm breathing underwater when I'm drowning down into the ocean with you. Yeah, with you. No, with you. Yeah.
Very nice.
Very nice.
Thank you. Very nice. Bond Smith, ladies and gentlemen, on 101.9 FM, CITR. So if I could ask you, where do you draw inspiration when you write songs like this? Where did this come from?
This song is actually a product of a ferry ride. I grew up on Galliano Island, and I often go back to Galliano Island to visit my family and stuff, and I was living there while I was recording this album, so I was riding it a lot. And like just in the beginning of recording the album, I always had the breathing underwater, the chorus part. I've had that for like 3 years, and I've never wrote a verse to it, but then I just was on the deck, and I was just like, what would my buddies want to hear right now, you know? There'd be like a cross of kind of like a hip-hop-y thing, so I just started with Freeze Babe, and it just kind of happened like 15 minutes later, and there it was, and I was like, wicked.
I also like the UFC reference you dropped midway through there.
Yeah, nice.
I'll be your GSP if you be my...
Yeah, exactly. I was like, okay, what do my buddies want me to talk about? I was like, if I mentioned UFC in an acoustic song, that'd be hilarious, so yeah. Plus, UFC's crazy. And GSP, Canadian. Let's be serious.
I like the CanCon. I like the CanCon.
Yeah, totally.
Make a note of that and get you some money.
Nice.
Some SoCan.
Yeah.
So, we'll have some more with you coming up later after this next band playing the Biltmore this Friday. They are White Rabbits with Temporary on Shameless 119 FM, CITR.
Want to know what's up at UBC? Read the UBC. It's only the largest student newspaper in Western Canada, and it's written and edited entirely by UBC students. The UBC is your source for on-campus news, culture, and sports. New editions come out every Monday and Thursday. For breaking news as well as amazing videos and blogs, check out ubc.ca.
We'll be right back. perfect. Perfect mood for that record. And Soul Wax.
Yeah, Soul Wax on 101.9 FM.
Soul Wax.
CITR. If perhaps that track sounds familiar in the lyrical content, it is another cover, the second of the night, actually.
Waxing the Soul.
Arcade Fire is Soul Wax. You're on Shameless 101.9 FM. CITR. I'm sitting here with my good pal, Bond Smith, my new best friend.
I'm a pretty good pal.
That you are. You and your entourage.
My I brought a little entourage?
Yeah.
It's like so HBO, right? So HBO.
Can I be Turtle?
Yeah, you. Turtle?
Drama.
Yeah, I was going to say you have to... You
what know, was I thinking?
Put on some more weight to be Turtle, I think.
I'm too kind. Sorry.
No, I'm sorry.
Because I'm not the performer. You are the performer. Getting photographed right now, too, as we speak.
How iPhones. Looking?
How's your blue steel going?
Oh, blue steel? I call it orange steel, actually. I've never used that one before, but I should have.
What is the gigs experience like for you in Vancouver so far? And beyond, too.
Yeah, oh, beyond. It's good. I just, like, recently have been, you know, really playing live and doing, like, open mics and little shows and stuff like that. And I was actually in Melbourne, like, seems like almost like a year ago or like 9 months ago, and I was there 5 months, and there's like open mics and there's shows every night, every other block, and there's so much music. So got really into playing live there, and now I'm back here, you know, Tuesday nights like Corduroy and stuff is a fun place to be. And yeah, playing live is just hilarious. It's like the best time ever, I think.
Does it beat recording your music?
Whoa. Good call.
That's too bold of a question.
You know what? That would probably almost beat it. I don't know. They're the same, but they're different. You know, recording the album was insane. I was just on Galleon Island, like super chill. Playing gigs are like, you know, you're kind of drunk. Yeah. Everyone's crazy.
Only kind of nice.
Yeah.
Does it really annoy you when people around here call that city in Australia Melbourne?
Oh man, Melbourne.
Having been there,
if you say Melbourne down there, people will literally, I don't know, drop you in the street. It's just
it's an interesting fact.
Yeah, it's
not
fact.
That I've experienced that's, firsthand, but
no, that's science.
Yeah,
that's proven.
Well, the title of your next track you're gonna play live.
Yeah,
has me very intrigued.
Is that right?
It does.
Why does it have you intrigued?
Well, when you call a song "Secret Wife,"
"Secret Wife."
Yeah.
No, it's "Life."
Life.
Oh, it should be "Wife" though. Maybe in like 20 years it'll be "Wife."
I jest.
Yes, no, it's called Secret Life. Still somewhat intriguing, I would think. Right?
Quite. Even more, perhaps.
Oh, even more.
Yeah.
I'd like to think that. So you want me to bust this thing out, or what?
There's a story behind here, I'm sure.
How about this song?
Yeah. Is it your secret life?
This song is not at all my secret life. Or is it?
So.
Oh my god, or is it? No, actually, this song is straight up about schizophrenic. So I guess it's up to you to decide if I'm schizophrenic or not. But no. Yeah, and it was just same sort of thing as Freeze Babe, just had some chords and then I started like writing a love song, and maybe like someone's cheating on someone, but then turned into like, oh no, this guy thinks the government's after him, and you know, it's like a story, I guess, of that guy.
Or is it?
Oh, here he comes.
I see where this works. It?
Yeah, totally. It's all mystery.
All right.
So we're gonna what's that? Secret Life.
Oh, you caught me with thread on my hands, but I still got one secret that you can't have. The stones may beat me down, but I still got my dark place where no one comes around. I still got that secret holding me down. We go laying in the park now. Your smile connects those moles that I hold so dear now. I try to keep myself composed, cause lurking in the trees now are some of the eyes. How did they follow me down from uptown? Did I leave a paper trail, something from which they could smell? Call the forces, let's make a surround. Running from a man who is a goddamn persistent son of a bitch. Why can't I lead a normal life? Have two kids and a wife without worrying about one day not making it home, replaced by clone with two cameras instead of two eyes, so the government can spy 24/7, 365. I'm a not so secret. I'm a not so secret life. Yeah. Gotta keep that secret locked tight. Yeah. Cause you caught me with red on my hands, but I still got one secret that you can't have. The stones may beat me down, but I still got my dark place when no one comes around. I still got that secret holding me down. Cause in my car now I can hear the voices. There's a lady who talks through my roof. Said I made a wrong turn, how much fuel that I burned. But now I finally got proof that there's someone out there far up in the air who watches my every move. You gotta beat the beaten before the reaper comes to find you. Running from the man who is a goddamn persistent son of a bitch. Why can't I lead a normal life? Have two kids and a wife without worrying about one day not making it home, replaced by clone with two cameras instead of two eyes, so the government can spy 24/7, 365. I'm a not so secret. I'm a not so secret life. Yeah. Gotta keep that secret locked tight. I'm a not so secret on my not so secret life. Oh yeah. No, 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 no. Cause you caught me with red on my hands, but I still got one secret that you can't have, that you can't have.
Whew. You got me paranoid now.
That's pretty scary, right?
I feel there's people listening to me.
I know.
All around. Secret Life. 101.9 FM CITR, live by Mr. Bondsmith. Nicely done.
Thank you, sir. That was awesome. That's fun.
Do you think that perhaps your paranoia might spread out from all the crazy people on the islands that you see? Or are you one of the crazy people?
Well, I think, I don't know, I'd probably be classified as crazy, but there would be a lot more classified just hippie. So I guess it's up to your discretion as to decide. I mean, can be anything.
So if we could backtrack a little bit.
Yeah.
You've had some experiences on television.
Oh, yeah.
And personally, I'm quite interested in the media world. So.
Yeah.
I'm always interested in the other side of media, you know, the visual side.
Yeah, totally.
What is it like, just in general, broad spectrum, what is it like?
Working in TV. So are you referring to the Much Music?
I am.
You are, okay. Yeah, the Much Music thing was insane. You know, I went from being, I guess, a college, you know, university student here to, like, three weeks later, I'm dropped school, moved to Toronto, living downtown, walking to Much Music every day, you know, having a show. It's like, it was probably the crazy experience of my life, for sure. And yeah, that whole world is just like, it's, I don't know, I think maybe the Eagles said it the best, life in the fast lane. That might have been the nerdiest thing I've said, but yeah, it's just wild. It's like, yeah, whatever you would imagine, like, that's exactly what it is. It's just, it's ridiculous, totally ridiculous. It's fun, though.
How does that pace, the nation's music station, relate to the pace of the fine islands that surround?
Yeah, no kidding. That's,
I know the answer to my own question.
I think, yeah, that's the word, that, you know, going from island of 1,000 people where, you know, live pretty much in the forest on the water to downtown Toronto, you know, just 14-year-old girls screaming for no reason. No, for good reasons, for good reasons. And yeah, it's just definitely shocking to the system, to say the least. But it was amazing. Like, I value that experience more than, like, I think anything.
But then moving from that to another experience at the Souter School of Business.
Yeah. That's actually done in 3 weeks.
Nice.
Oh, I finished classes in 3 weeks. I'll have my degree, and then I'll never have to think academically again. No, that's ridiculous. I'll have to do math sometimes, like groceries.
You know? Way big.
Yeah. No, actually, the Mint app, that they do that for you now, so it's cool.
Of course. Yeah. Congratulations. Got any big summer plans?
Yeah, well, I mean, I graduate, so I have, like, I guess I'm a free man after this, so the plan is just to do a lot of things like this, I guess. Playing radio stations, maybe go touring around. I got a tight little Volkswagen car, so I'm good to go. And, you know, just play as much as possible. Use the sun to my advantage and just, you know, seize the day.
Where do you see business fitting into the future career of Bond Smith?
I think it already has in a lot of ways. I mean, I'm a marketing student there, so I've been doing 5 years of marketing classes. And, you know, now that I have the album, you know, I can use a lot of the same, you know, same theories, and a lot of the stuff I've learned there I can apply here. It's, you know, I'm not selling a Ziploc container. I guess I'm just selling my albums, so it's cool. Like, you know, it's cool to see school pay off and use it, you know, in a somewhere that I'm, like, passionate, you know?
Of course. So now, I'd like to move on to one more of your tracks.
All right.
A nice polished, produced one.
Yeah, nice. Enough of this acoustic stuff.
No, 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 no.
We don't want this.
The track is Run. You're very familiar with it, I'm sure.
Sort of. I've heard it a few times.
What is the story behind Run?
Run. Yeah, I guess I just had that, I think I just, like, kind of played that once, and I was like, whoa, that sounds pretty sad. And I think, I was just actually in Gage Towers right behind here in my room. I just started, like, just writing down, you know, and this song's actually about, like, a husband and wife, or, you know, girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever it is. And the husband dies, and it's kind of like him looking down from the clouds and or being, you know, a sparkle in the sky as it is in the song, and telling her to live her life and, you know, continue on and stuff like that. So, yeah, I don't know. It was just, like, a pretty intense half-hour songwriting session, and came out, and you know, especially, well, and then once we recorded it, there's cellos, and that, I think that really takes it to a whole other level. Like, just having cellos on anything, it just brings the soul out, I think, you know?
I wish my show had a cello.
You wish you?
I wish I had a cello.
Yeah, no kidding, me too. Just if you're sad in your room, just... It'd be too good.
Excellent. So where can people see you next?
On the road. Well, I'm most likely going to be doing a big show in Vancouver, like, mid-May. Hopefully have the full band from the album, and just, like, have a big concert. Really, really good night, so I guess look out for that. But other than that, I'm just... like to hit open mics and stuff. You know, I still have 3 weeks of school, so I got classes and all that.
Best get to bed early.
Yeah, no kidding, right? Try to. Never happens. But, yeah, so if I play, I usually put on my Facebook page, and if I'm heading down, and it's the easiest way, I guess. Facebook's taking over the world, so let's join it.
You gonna play tracks like this one? Run.
Run.
Don't cry. I watch you in silence from a sparkle in the sky. As the days flow by us, I watch you grow. Never stand beside you again, but I hope that you know that you're all that I lived for, till death did us part. How is it that the end has come when it should have been the start? I'm tired of our real life. We long to share. Life ends, love lasts forever. Isn't that unfair? Isn't that unfair? No, no. Oh, I can only hear your prayers. I can only hear your prayers.
eyes don't cry. I watch you in silence from a sparkle in the sky. And I just wanna scream out to hear my words. You thought it was the end, but it was me that you heard. The night that I left you, the night I dread. How can one live a life when the other is dead? If I could just hold you once more, I'd never let go. With you in my arms, life can never go too slow. Too slow. So here are my last words, on which I part. Don't listen with your ears, but hear me with your heart. I want you to live, I want you to love, hope that you give, and have some fun. And when everything's said, and when everything's done, my beautiful baby girl. With your life, run till you cannot see an end in sight. 'Cause your time isn't over, you got a life to kill. So look up in my direction and say that you will, that you will, you will. Say that you will.
Can you imagine an oil spill on our coast? Enbridge and Kinder Morgan are proposing pipelines that would bring oil supertankers to the coast of the Great Bear Rainforest and expand tanker traffic through Vancouver's harbor. On March 26th, stand up for an oil-free coast at a noon hour rally featuring First Nations leaders Bill McKibben and more. March 26th, 12 noon at the Vancouver Art Gallery.
Did crosswords puzzling you?
Unrealistic wavelength draining all your brain strength, inflicted crosswords puzzling your doubt, questioning your own mental health. Yeah, it's like a maze within itself. Yeah, check the grimy, slimy, slimy, criminal individual lobby, searching for the dark night, lurking in the shadows of the city. Hero with Jiggy, my crime committee, robbing every cop and piggy bank blind. Take a journey through the mind of a red. Bender, three time felony offender, demented, brain cemented, mixing the blender, illusion, mass confusion, question mark, clues in, what, where, why, who's in, quiz, time to ask yourself who it is, shiesty be you know, underhanded bitch, invaded brother's wits, can I live, corrupting, bringing all the misery and suffering, pain you couldn't cure with the buffering, rotating, ridiculous, rapid fire riddle, back get trapped in the middle of the red flag. Observe if you will. I'm in my hideout in the back of the hills. I crack a vault and I caught up by the mill. Co-defendants Johnny Blaze and Bobby Stills. We was blazing hot wheels. Turn the corner, you can hear the wheels squeal. On that ass fast was the Batmobile.
I can tell by the demon on the grill. This was real. Alley cat screaming. I hear the trash can, garbage everywhere. Money flying out the bags and trying to escape. Hold on with the cape, or else he'd be headed upstate. It's the red blood.
A great soundtrack to a questionable movie. Undoubtedly, though, the best song ever written about Batman, that was Method Man's The Riddler from Batman Forever on Shameless 101.9 FM CITR in Vancouver. Now, I love Batman. I'm not alone either, as my guest right now is known for being a huge fan as well. For the past 15 years, he's hosted his own creation, The Electric Playground, and Reviews on the Run. That spun off as well. Every day you can see both shows on City TV and the G4 network. He will also be present with all of the EP and Reviews on the Run crew at Fan Expo in Vancouver on April 21st and 22nd. He is Victor Lucas. And thank you so much, sir, for letting me in your castle today. This is pretty sweet.
Castle. You're very welcome. Thank you for having me on the show.
You've just come back from a little extended leave.
Yeah.
Raising a family.
Yeah.
What's it like stepping away from a show that you produce and feature yourself so prominently in and then let it go on its own? How does that work?
It was weird. I had Steve Tilley from Toronto, who works for the Toronto Sun, and he works on our show on Reviews on the Run, come and cover for me in the studio. And I realized that it was the first time since I had created the idea for Reviews on the Run that I wasn't in it. I wasn't hosting that show. I mean, we had banked some reviews that were still in the show that I'd shot prior to taking my paternity leave there. But I wasn't hosting the show, and it was odd to have that moment of realization. And it's been 15 years. Like, we launched this on TV in 1997, so it's been a long time that I've been on TV, you know, with every episode of what we've done almost for a long time. But I realize how incredibly gratifying it is to have people carry your passion and carry your ideas and make them their own and improve them and offer that up. And I've learned that just by watching what both shows are every day. I watch so many incredible people's contributions and their work and their collaborations, and I'm just in awe of the smart people that I get to work with, the talented people that I get to work with. That's continuous. But I think when I was away, I was watching a lot of TV because our baby is sleeping, you know, our newborn is sleeping, and I was watching a lot of our shows, and I'm just so proud. I'm just so proud, and I feel so grateful that I get to, you know, call these people my colleagues, you know. And it is the most gratifying thing to have conceived of something that might work and for it to be, you know, accepted and to continue for quite a long time now, it feels like. But then also to have colleagues carry on that work and believe in it as much as you do, I don't know if there's many more things more gratifying than that.
Were you a proud dad twofold? Like, hey, Ruby, looking good. Hey, Scott and Steve, also looking good.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, there is an element of fatherhood in this sometimes. My wife and I, my wife, Marcy, helps me run Greedy Productions. And we kind of feel sometimes that we're sort of, you know, overseeing the company like it's our baby. And so there's a bit of a sort of a parental kind of vibe there. But all of the people that I work with, they're so professional, you know. They're so talented and committed, and we don't have a team that can really just put up with people just sort of showing up, you know. We don't build shows that are like that or about that, you know. It really takes commitment. It really takes some work. And I'm not talking about you know, staying, everybody has to work crazy, you know, 20-hour work days or whatever. I mean, we are sane that way. But in the 8 to 10 hours or so that people are in our office creating what they're doing or out in the field creating what they're doing, there's no slouching. There's no sort of holding back, you know. They give themselves to this stuff. And I think that's why we work. I think that's why our shows are where they're at right now, frankly. So, yes, I'm a proud father of Greedy, I guess, and proud of my team. And my baby is incredible. Absolutely.
So over the years, Electric Playground, Views on the Run, haven't fundamentally changed, but they've expanded so much, two different shows, yeah, covered a lot more content.
Yeah.
What is it about these shows that keep people coming back for more for 15 plus years? Even the G4 network itself has changed more than your shows have.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think we are honest, you know. I think with Electric Playground, we're honest with our enthusiasm for this creative material that we get to focus on. And it's a program that's really just about people's creativity and the creative people that are in these creative positions. And they're fascinating. They're intelligent. They've always got a different and unique and exciting outlook on the world, and they have interesting stories to share. And that's really infectious. That's really infectious to produce and to be out in the world gathering that content. And I think it's really infectious to watch that stuff. And I think what you see on Electric Playground is, you know, edited packages and stories that, you know, everybody involved in getting that material to air was very excited about that opportunity. The people that we interview, the people that we send out to conduct those interviews, the camera operators, the editors, the graphics people, the producers, you know, everybody has had a real, you know, thoughtful commitment and passion for getting this material together. And it's really cool. And I think what typifies or what sort of separates our show with Electric Playground a little bit from the other entertainment shows out there is that they seem very cynical to me. You know, I watch a lot of other entertainment stuff where I check in every once in a while, and it just feels kind of cold-hearted and kind of more about trying to chase glamour, but at the same time trying to subjugate glamour and trying to sort of poke holes into glamorous people and you know, find the flaws in people that have success. And it's I don't know, it seems mean-spirited a lot, you know. And also the emphasis on a lot of the entertainment stuff that the coverage that I watch doesn't seem to be about entertainment. It seems to be more about fame and famous people and their foibles. And that's not what EP is. And I couldn't imagine producing that type of content, you know. I think that would be disheartening to just be focused on some really tough stuff about people, you know. You know, frankly, like TMZ, great show the way it's made, but I mean it just seems nasty to me, you know. It just seems to be so targeting, you know. And they're just one of many shows, and there's a lot of fans for those shows. They have tons of viewers out there. But yeah, we're very concerted in our efforts to make our programming about cool stuff and talking to cool people. And I think that because we do that, that means that we can weather the storm of public taste, you know. Like, I think that there will always be an appetite for what's coming up, what's cool, you know, what new games should I be thinking about, who's making them, what new movies are coming out that have really fantastic stories, fantastical stories with great special effects, what action figures based on some of these properties are. This is all the, like, hot stuff that all of us want to line up and buy and find out more about. So I think EP works on that level, and I think Reviews works from that honesty kind of point of view. But it's really heartfelt, you know, straightforward commentary about, you know, these entertainment properties that can cost a lot of money, and people just want some straight up conversation, and they want to feel like there's a connection to the person on screen, that reviewer, and have an idea of what their tastes are so they can align their own tastes and their own decision making around this review content. I think it's entertaining to see two people, you know, go back and forth, maybe argue about a product, but it's also valuable information. You know, it'll help you save money, you know. So I think we have a consumer advocate kind of role with Reviews, but I think we're also entertaining, and we're talking about the, you know, some of the world's most entertaining stuff.
Do you have a good relationship with the publishers that you deal with? Like,
yeah,
they send you stuff for, like, EP, and then you talk about that.
Yeah,
but then
we have a phenomenal relationship with the publishers, and it's, you know, we have tremendous respect for them. And this company was founded with a real love for video games and entertainment and technology. I mean, we love this stuff. And I think that seeps through on every frame of our productions. You know, like every time you tune into EP or reviews, you see that we are geeks for this stuff. There is no phoniness around any of this. You know, but we also call it truthfully, and we call it like we see it, you know. So sometimes we may ruffle feathers, and sometimes we may, you know, piss a developer off or whatever, but generally I think there's, you know, we've built up enough of a track record and have been doing this long enough, and certainly in the television space there aren't lots and lots of other options out there that we're just another one of many. So I think that has made us kind of stand out in the crowd, and I think that we have quite a bit of respect in the community as well. And I think that has existed for a long time in video games, and it's starting to really grow and evolve in the film business now, because we're reviewing movies and Blu-rays and with animation and you know, and the toy business and the comic industry. They're all starting to kind of clue into our content, and really it's really awesome to see people get excited that EP is coming into their studio, you know, or to hear from developers or comic people. And part of the cameo idea that we have in Reviews on the Run is to let the creators kind of critique a little bit. But it's cool to hear that they're fans, you know, or they're watching this stuff and they respect that we put a lot of work into what we do as well. We're not half-assing any of this. And I think that the community kind of gets that, both the viewership and also the creative community, that it makes the stuff we talk about.
It's very Canadian.
Yeah.
Like your Scorpion King 3 coverage is very heartfelt and like intense. I was like, man, when this comes to review time, they're going to be too honest with these guys.
And it was. I mean, like the thing with preview, and I'm so glad that we had the opportunity to separate the shows, you know, and to spin off reviews into its own show. Because it was a very popular segment when we first launched Electric Playground. And when I conceived of the idea of EP, it felt like, okay, this could be like the perfect magazine around this cool stuff. But as a TV show, and in a magazine, you would see previews and reviews and all that stuff, and it kind of made sense that would all exist in one half hour. And it worked. It was a great half hour, and it was fast-paced and everything. But I think by allowing the two shows to exist independently and also coexist together, because everybody sees the synergy there and the relation, and it's a lot of the same people, it gives us room to be a little more hopeful with Electric Playground, because we know how hard it is to make anything. It's hard to make what we do.
Yeah.
So we trust that the people that have been tasked with making these multi-million dollar projects or multi-hundred thousand dollar projects that we cover on EP, or in some cases, like some of the podcasts that we cover, no money, but we expect that they have our best interests at heart, and they're working their asses off to build something really cool. And we give them the benefit of the doubt, and we convey to these creators our excitement, our honest, genuine excitement. And we hope that all of this stuff is going to be awesome. And even when it comes time to receiving these games and these Blu-rays and movies and these passes to go and see things in the theater, we are excited. But if we are deflated at the end of consuming this stuff, we have to tell people that, you know? And I think it's great that we have been fortunate enough that we can separate the shows and keep one kind of about people's expectation and hope, and one about the truth of all of this stuff. And that's exactly what happened with Scorpion King. We previewed that the latest direct-to-Blu-ray movie, and it looked like people were working their butts off, and all the actors had great things to say, as they often do. And then the review came out, and I think Miri and Joe gave it, I don't know, a 1 and a 2 or something out of 10. So it sometimes comes down to that, yep.
Because I have an audience with you right now, yeah. I have to ask, what do you see for the next generation of games coming out?
Oh, man, that's a massive question. I think the business is really kind of freaking out right now, you know? I mean, I just got the new iPad today, and it's a powerhouse, man. I mean, the graphic capabilities on this thing, I don't think it has the full specs of a PlayStation 3 or an Xbox 360, but pretty damn close. And it's, you know, you can pick one of these things up for $500 and it can be like a walking portable computer with some really, you know, kick-ass horsepower to make some beautiful images, you know, interactive on screen like that. And that's got to be, and Apple's doing this every year, so that's got to be freaking out these console manufacturers, you know, who have to invest billions into the R&D to develop something that is equatable to a, you know, a gaming PC that's been sort of tailor-made to make video games on. But I don't know if that model is going to be sustainable over the next 5 or 10 years. I don't know if we're going to be in these, return cycles of the PlayStation 4 and then the PlayStation 5. And, you know, I don't know if we're on that road anymore, you know. And with all of this computational power that exists through cloud networking and through, connected devices where you can have all of the raw processing and graphics processing happening in a server somewhere, and then it's just being transmitted to you as if it were a television signal, and you're playing an interactive television signal in a way, and the graphics are better than anything that a PlayStation 3 or 360 can render. That's all within arm's reach. So I have to wonder what Nintendo, Microsoft, and Sony are kind of figuring out for this next generation, you know, and what media they expect we're going to be consuming this stuff on. And whether it makes sense for us to have shelves and shelves of video game packages anymore. Frankly, it excites me that we can use the internet to access this software, you know, and we can use the internet to not only access the software, but we can use the internet to kind of process the software to make it look better than anything that we have in the house. So the idea of Steam and OnLive, those things excite me. And if that were in a, like, let's say Steam, OnLive, and an iPad with double the resolution of the latest iPad right now that connected wirelessly to a television set, all coexisted in one platform, and you were buying games that were at maximum $20 per each, and, you know, they had the fidelity and the experience of, you know, some of the best stuff, like the Uncharted 3s and the Skyrims and the Mass Effect 3s that we're playing right now. That seems to be like a very exciting potential future for the video game industry, you know. And all of that technology exists already. It's just refining all of that stuff that we currently have. And certainly controllers play a part of it. And I'm not a firm believer in motion control yet at all. I'm not really sort of buying the Kinect experience as a gaming platform yet. Move is kind of just a redo of what the Wii was doing for a long time, and the biggest bellwether for my opinions on what the Wii did was Skyward Sword, which is a fantastic game made worse by its motion controls. So I think that I'm not dead set that these things will ever be fun, but they have a lot to prove that way. But certainly traditional controls are really important for a good gaming experience, and the iPad doesn't deliver that, so I guess we'd have to throw that in the equation. Throw DualShock on an iPad 5 with super fast internet, and you've got Steam or a kick-ass gaming store on the App Store, and also some OnLive functionality, so you're able to play games that look even better than what your raw processing is at home. That's incredible.
That is the future.
I think so. I mean, I think all of this stuff is percolating. They're all working on it. And I think that Sony, Microsoft, and Nintendo are all kind of looking at the field testing that's happening with some of this stuff and the market testing that's happening with some of this stuff. And they're adapting. They're shifting their models to it. Look at the Wii U. If that's not an iPad next to a Wii, I don't know what is, you know? Even the Vita, which is a terrific handheld device. It's amazing. I don't know how well it's selling right now, but tell me that isn't a direct answer to Apple's threat, you know, with all of its touchscreen functionality.
You want touching, you touch everything on this thing.
You can touch everything on it, and I love it. It's a great device, you know. And frankly, it's surprising to me that Apple hasn't taken gaming more seriously to provide better control options and more adaptable control options on their devices. They've got a market that's built in there, their captive market, and they could be working with game publishers to develop, you know, like real state-of-the-art experiences, but they're held back by the idea that you have to have virtual D-pads and touchscreen controls on everything.
To the game side of things, do you think games like Mass Effect 3, the really user-demanded content, is going to be maybe where a game's going to head in the future?
Mass Effect 3, yeah. I say all of these sort of disruptive forces are kind of the future for games, like OnLive. And Steam isn't really disruptive. I mean, they're the market leader. They're a massive entity. But certainly the iPad is, because no one expected that thing to come out and be such a gaming powerhouse. And, you know, and every subsequent year and every release of that thing and all of the, you know, new release of that thing and all the new software that keeps coming out for really kind of underlines what it can do. But the best games, in my opinion, are the big games, the most exciting games, the games that are driving this industry forward. And I love indie games, but indie games are, and I don't mean to deflate them or talk about them in a disparaging way, because I think there's incredible creativity there, but what indie games seem to me to be mostly about is taking established mechanics and established game design and reinterpreting it in a way that's more esoteric and more about story and more about toying with emotional ideas and poetic ideas. And I love that. I think that's fantastic. But those developers don't have the budgets to reach and develop new game mechanics and new ways to engage at a storytelling level that a team like BioWare with Mass Effect 3 or a team like Naughty Dog with Uncharted in their franchise. I wasn't as big a fan of Uncharted 3 as I was of 2, but that company is incredible. And BioWare, or Irrational with BioShock. Those are the most exciting games for me. Assassin's Creed, even though we're on the fourth one, I think.
Kind of churning them out.
Assassin's 3. Still, I mean, those are incredible games that I get completely lost in. There's so much amazing production in those games, so much incredible detail and fantastic. The thing that excites me about video games the most is that they bridge all of the creative arts, all of the things that mankind has been able to do, humankind has been able to do, in terms of creation, music, art in so many different layers, storytelling in terms of just scripted work, but also in sort of linear cinematic storytelling, cinematography and lighting, and all of these different ways that we've been able to convey and talk about art. Even if you look at architecture or sculpture, or all of it is sort of incorporated and interpreted, and then the final element of this art form is that the player is a part of the art. And you can be an artful gamer as well. And the experience that you can get from this is not a stationary one. It's not one where you're just sitting back and letting it wash over you. You have to be participatory. You have to be imbued, embedded into the experience and make it come alive. And that's really exciting. And that's why it connects on an emotional level, which people that don't understand video games never connect on. They don't really understand why we invest hours into these games. They can't see that there's an emotional hook there. Not a psychological hook, not an addiction. We care about that experience and that escape. We care about being immersed in these worlds. And not every game does it as effectively as others, but that's the potential of games. And it transcends the technology, you know? It transcends our ability to communicate, frankly, and the way that we've been able to tell stories for thousands of years. Because we're a part of that story. And the story that we convey about our experience within a game is going to be different from another person's story about how they experienced a video game. That's profound. It's profound.
I'd say Cole McGrath's level of goodness to be my level of goodness is how I played as him.
Yeah.
I want to be perfect, but I'm a little lazy in my shooting lightning.
Yeah, and there is so much of that idea of aspiration in these things. And it stretches back to Greek tragedy and Greek mythology, you know, and classic theater, you know. I mean, these are epic struggles that we get caught up in these worlds, and we play epic characters, larger than life, and we rise to the occasion. And just like comic books were incredibly inspirational, influential on my upbringing, I feel that video games bring that to the table as well, you know, and they introduce characters that people can really look up to, you know. Certainly not all of them, and people can get, you know, be very general and just talk about games as shooters. But there's a lot more going on than that.
We'll be back with more from Victor Lucas after this. First up, a track I've been dying to play. It is simply called The Super Morrissey Brothers. I think you'll get the gist. On 101.9 FM, CITR, this show is shameless. We'll be right back.
Swanky. It's the Poliera Spring Masquerade and Strut Off, March 24th at the Rickshaw Theater. Five vintage clothing stores will compete in a friendly fashion show, each representing a different era and theme. Showcase your vintage best, too, with live music from Mocha Only and local faves, Prisoners, with prizes and good times for all. Proceeds go to two Downtown Eastside nonprofits, Hastings Crossing BIA, and our social fabric. How cool is that? Advance tickets are available at Eventbrite Online or Zulu, Neptune, and Red Cat Records. It's the Poliera Spring Masquerade and Strut Off, March 24th at the Rickshaw Theater. Any UBC student knows that the year begins optimistically. In your arms tonight. But by the end of it, you're ready for a little. Any smart UBC student will therefore know that it's best to get your tickets early to the annual AMS Block Party, featuring Mother Mother, Masterpack, DJ Headspin, The Boom Booms, and more. Thursday, April 5th on the McInnes Field, your AMS brings you the fifth year of music, partying, and hopefully some sunshine. Early bird tickets available at the Outpost until March 9th, and general tickets available thereafter. For more info, search for the AMS Block Party on Facebook. The fifth annual AMS Block Party is proudly sponsored by CITR.
hailing from Vancouver. That is Safety Show here on Shameless 101.9 FM CITR. From their latest release, O Burrito, a record that just happens to be in CD number 33,931 to the CITR library. I know that because I took a little tour of the library recently with my good pal, Bon Smith.
Yes, we did. Today.
How'd you like the library?
Right behind us.
Libraries, I should say.
Yeah, we go to the record library because there's two, record and CD library, and the record blew me away. Never seen that many records in my life. Then there's how many CDs in the CD library?
At least 33,932.
33,000 CDs. Oh man, sound just dissipates in that room and just goes away, which is ironic. The soundless room. Full of music.
Prison of nightmares.
There's a song in there, eh? Yeah. The soundless room full of music. Oh, shoot.
Well, Bon Smith, it's a pleasure to have you out on the show tonight.
Thank you for having me. It was a blast.
Where can people find you online?
The easiest way, I guess, is just, like, I have my Facebook page, Bon Smith Music. So when I do shows and stuff, I usually just post it there. Or my Twitter, Bon Smith Music, or just come to shows and have a really good summer, because that's what I'm hoping for.
Words to live by.
Yeah.
From your record, Far From Home. I'm going to end off with this last track from you. It is Far From Home.
Tie on me. Do I have time to tie up on the island? tie by me. Do I have time to tie upon the island?
I'm at war. I'm at war with myself. I'm at war with you. I'm at war with everybody. That's why I don't do drugs. Because I don't want to be numb. I want to feel the pain. I want the clarity of the challenge. I want to win. I want to kick in the head. I want to tear the throat box out. I want to smash in the lungs. I want to kick in the rib cage. I want to split the spine. And I want to use your phone, make love to your wife, sister, eat your dog, and leave your house with a good cassette.
CITR 101.9 FM, where there's just a little bit of Kim Fowley in each and every one of us.
No. I don't think so.
What is this?
CITR 101.9 FM.
A center for ants?
What?
We're a radio station broadcasting from UBC Vancouver.
How can we be expected to teach children to learn how to read if they can't even fit inside the building?
Visit CITR.ca.
Derek, it's just a...
I don't want to hear your excuses! The center has to be at least 3 times bigger than this.